Good morning and welcome to worship here at Trinity. It's wonderful to see you here. If you're here with us every week or regularly, it's always a joy to be able to spend this time with you. If this is your first or second time here, we're especially glad that you chose to worship with us. We'd like to point your attention to the Connect card in the bulletin. And if you will take a moment to complete that and then give it to the ushers as they come by later for our time of offering, it would be greatly appreciated. If you're here regularly, just your name and email is plenty. And if you are new to our community, as much information as you are willing to share with us, we are happy to receive. This month is our month of missions, and we are collecting hygiene kits today, and those go for our mission of the week, which is UMCOR, our United Methodist Relief Committee on Relief. And UMCOR is often one of those that are first on the scene. We actually often meet the Red Cross whenever there are natural or civil disasters around the world. And so this week we invite you to consider giving generously for the continued ministry of that organization that is a part of being a Methodist. We are a connectional community, and so they are one of us. As we look forward to the month of missions next week, what is next week? Next week you are invited to bring school supplies next week. So bring those. You can put those in the blue boxes. We also invite you to join us for lunch later today. So after this service concludes, just make your way on over to Worship Side B. Join us for lunch and a time of fellowship. During this summer, we have been on an exploration of Ephesians, a series called Together for the Sake of the World. And this morning, as we join in our tradition, which we hope everyone comes to feel this way about our church, I invite you to think about what it means to be together, not just here, but in every part of our everyday lives. And so will you join me as I say to you, welcome home. As the thunder rolls, will you stand and greet those around you and say, it's great to be together with you this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's join together in singing our opening hymn.
Christ is our unity, the love. we, God, as the cardinal welcomes the sun to brighten the day, and as the earth welcomes the rains to nourish the fields, so may we welcome you on this day. May our worship be our invitation for you to come and brighten our hearts and nourish our souls in this time. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Would you join me in affirming our faith together through the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we join together in a time of prayer as a community today, I invite you to remember those persons who are a part of the Trinity community who are in need of your prayers. You see some names listed on the screen that are receiving care from our care team. Also, I would want you to know that this past week on Wednesday, Bob Garagues, longtime devoted and faithful part of this congregation, passed away. Bob's memorial service will be held here on August 25th. That's a little ways away, but the family wanted to have time to prepare and put together a service that will be a real celebration of his life and witness. So we'll remind you about it again, but just August 25th, know that that is coming to celebrate Bob's life. At the 9:40 service this morning, we commissioned and blessed our Appalachia Service Project team that will be headed to the Appalachia Mountains. At the beginning of next week, early Sunday morning, they will be leaving for Tennessee, and so I invite you to be remembering them in your prayers as well. And as you come in today, there are both concerns and perhaps celebrations that you would like to place before God, and so let me invite you to take a moment in silence with me to offer those up, and then I'll pray for us. And gracious God, as we pray together, we begin with praise. Praise to you, the creator of all things and the giver of life, and the one who is in all and through all and over all. As the thunder roars, we know that you are there. And when the sun comes out, for you are present in all things, in both our pain and our joy, in both our doubt and our hope, in both our suffering and in our celebration in our times when it feels dark and lonely, and in our times when we feel the light of love all around us. Oh God, you are with us and for us. And we pray that just as you are with and for us, we would be with and for one another, so that our witness as your church might be one of unity, that it might be one of caring and compassion and kindness, and not only for ourselves, but for all of your children, that as we walk out of this place today, we would walk into a world in need of your kindness, and that we would be ambassadors for you. Help us to follow more closely in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who offered us the perfect example, and the one who teaches us even how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
It is with great joy that I share with you that at 9:40 this morning, Erica Penley officially became a member of Trinity United Methodist Church. Some of you know Erica. She has been around for some time and has served in our children's ministry area. Erica is a young woman who, having had the opportunity to serve in that ministry in an internship, has discerned a calling on her life to work with children as her long vocational choice. And so Erica leaves in about a week to go to Bethune-Cookman University, where she will be pursuing a major in religion with a concentration in Christian ministry. All that to share with you, because you, Trinity, have been a part of her formation and a part of her sensing that calling, and through providing her with a community and also providing her with the opportunity to have that internship. So thank you. Thank you for your welcome of her. Thank you for your generosity. It is just one of the ways in which our gifts that we bring into this place of worship each week makes a difference that is life-shaping. So would you join me in prayer this morning as we pray over the gifts today? Oh God, we give you thanks for Erica's life and witness, and for the joy of being able to be a part of her journey. And we pray now that you would take what we offer today and continue to use these gifts in ways that are impacting the lives of others for the sake of your will and your way. In Christ's name we pray. Thank you.
gifts they both have and what a joy it is to be able to receive that gift as they offer it to God and as we worship together. Thank you. So for the last 4 weeks, we've been looking at the letter to the Ephesians, and the first three chapters kind of lay the foundation for everything, that God loves us and chooses us and wants the dividing walls between us to come down. And then we get a prayer in that third chapter of Ephesians, which we've talked about kind of as a hinge between who God is and who we are, what God does and what we are called to do. And then last week, Steve urged us on toward unity in the church, as the author of Ephesians does, as the first part of how we are to act in the world. And then today, the rubber really meets the road as we look at more of the specifics of what that looks like. What does it look like for us to live out our faith in the world? In a couple of verses right before the section that we're going to read, the author talks about taking off our old selves, putting off our old selves and our dirty clothes, if you will, and putting on our new self and the garments made for us because we are made in the likeness and in the image of God. And then we get to this, so then. That begins our section today, so then. So again, it's an opportunity for us to listen up. Something important is coming. Let's see what this has to say about so then, how are we to live our lives. So I invite you to follow along with me as I read from the scripture, chapter 4, verse 25, and it goes to the beginning of chapter 5. So then, putting away all falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath, anger and wrangling, and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God, beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let me invite you now to bow your heads and pray for me this morning and sharing this message with you. I pray for you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As parents, most of us are aware that our kids watch everything that we do. And so, we try to be very careful about what we do and what we say and how we act in front of them. They are like little sponges, and they will imitate everything that we do. This point was driven home for us one night many years ago. Shelby, our daughter, was just a toddler, and it was dinner time. Now, as well as Shelby, we had two dogs in the family, and one of them was particularly a rascal, and he would the dinner table, and he could literally swallow a sandwich whole. And he liked to share Shelby's toys with her and could demolish a stuffed animal in seconds flat. So, a frequent phrase around our house was, "Bad dog. Bad dog, Wilson." That was his name. "Bad dog." Well, this one night at dinner, as we sat at the table, it was one of the first nights that Shelby had a big girl cup instead of a sippy cup. And, as you might guess, she spilled her milk. And it went all over the table, and it went down in the crack in the middle of the table, and it came down off the side of the front of the table. And immediately after she spilled her milk, she began to whimper and said, "Bad dog! Bad dog, Shelby! Bad dog!" We had to quickly reassure her that, no, it was just an accident. That stuff happens. It's no problem. And really, we only say bad dog to the dogs, not to the children. She was just imitating what she had heard us say. You know, our scripture this morning at the very end concludes with saying, "Therefore, be imitators of God as God's beloved children." We are imitators of God and are implored to live like that. Just as Steve said last week, the word "therefore" in scripture means this is really important. This is the crux of the matter. And that's what this says. "Therefore, be imitators of God as God's beloved children." And so this section gives us the tangible advice, the tangible characteristics of what it looks like to be an imitator of God and how we are called to live. These are the characteristics of Christian living. But just a reminder, these are not rules to check off. These are not merit badges to be earned. No, rather they are the marks of a Christian, the way of being for those of us who have been baptized into Christ and who have new life. First of all, there are four things that we are specifically encouraged to do in this passage. First of all, the scripture says, "Don't lie, but let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another." The author is calling us to speak honestly and openly with others. The question is, what is the truth that we are supposed to speak about? Well, we get clued into that by paying attention to the reason we are supposed to speak the truth. Speak the truth to your neighbors because we are members of one another. We are connected to one another. We belong together. So what is our truth? I think the author is telling us to speak truth in ways that lead us toward expressing care and concern for one another. To speak the truth about ourselves. To speak the truth about God who loves us and redeems us. There's a great example of truth-telling, a part of that truth-telling, here in our own community. You may have heard that Newberry will be the first town in Alachua County to engage in truth-telling about their history of racial injustice and the lynchings that happened there, specifically the lynchings in 1912. You might read more about it, but this past week, the Newberry City Commission met to begin the truth and reconciliation process to document those lynchings and to acknowledge them in local institutions and then to move towards healing. Yep, that's where the rubber meets the road. Speak the truth to your neighbors, for we are members of one another. And just a word of caution. Too often we use this and other calls for speaking the truth as justification to preach at someone or make sure that they understand what we know to be the truth. You know what? We may be called to be imitators of God, but we are not to imitate that characteristic of God. We are not called to be the judge and the jury. That is God's role. We would do best to speak the truth about ourselves and about the love of God in Christ, who loved us and gave himself up for us. Next, the author says, be angry, but do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, it's not a call to be angry, but notice, it doesn't say, don't be angry. As Christians, there are things that we should be passionate about and perhaps even get angry about. Jesus got angry at the religious leaders when they didn't want him to heal on the Sabbath. And Jesus was yelling and angry when he turned over the tables outside of the temple because the religious authorities were victimizing people and taking advantage of people. So there are things that as Christians we should be angry about, but we need to choose wisely what those things are. A car pulling out in front of us is not reason to have our tempers flare. On the other hand, we should be passionate and even angry about issues of healing and justice and caring for those who are the very least among us. The third characteristic of Christian living says, thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands. Now, this may be a little bit more difficult for most of us to relate to because there are not a lot of us who are involved in thievery. But in the first century, pilfering was a very normal part of everyday life, and therefore guidance was needed to be given even to Christians. So perhaps for us today, we should think more about stealing in terms of being willing to compromise our principles in order to advance ourselves, when instead we should be working earnestly and honestly to make a living. And then again, we look to the reason for that. It says, work earnestly and honestly, and the purpose is so that we can be generous to the needy. So that we can be generous for an eternal purpose. That is why we work. John Wesley's statement rings clear for us right here. John Wesley said, earn all you can. Save all you can. Give all you can. You could put so that in there. So that you can give all you can. The fourth characteristic says, do not speak evil, or that is literally translated, do not talk rotten. Do not talk rotten, but only what will build up so that your words will give grace. I just love that. So that our words will give grace. So that what we say, what comes out of our mouth, will be a blessing to others. How much of what we say would be eliminated if we only said that which would build up, which would give grace, which would be a blessing to others? We really need to go back and take that sentence that we learned when we were a child, take it to heart. If you can't say anything nice, then don't say anything at all. My grandmother used to say, bite your tongue, young lady, bite your tongue. How much would we not say if we really took that to heart? And if we couldn't say anything nice, just didn't say anything at all? What if all of our words would give grace? You know, in our time today, so many words of meanness and hatred and bullying and vitriol. bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling, slander, and malice. And why? Because when we do those things, when we don't tell the truth, when our anger is out of proportion to the cause of our anger, when we hold on to anger and let it fester and boil within us, when we give a foothold to the devil, when we don't work earnestly and honestly so that we can be generous to others, when we let things come out of our mouths that are rotten, just plain rotten, you know what that does? It grieves the Holy Spirit. That's what this says. It grieves the Holy Spirit. That's such a tender word. Like for those of us who are parents, when our children do something that we know is not who they really are, it grieves us. It grieves our spirit. And when we do these things and don't live as God knows we are, then it grieves the Spirit of God. So at the end, the author sums it up by saying that we are to be imitators of God. As beloved children, he says, be imitators of God and live in love. Now, really, the translation of that is keep on becoming. That's the verb form. Keep on becoming imitators of God. Whew, thank goodness. I don't have to just be an imitator. I get to keep on becoming an imitator of God. And then when it says live in love, that word is peripateo, which means walk around. So that phrase that Aaron loves, in your everyday, ordinary, walking around lives, show love. Show love. Now for us, for Steve and I, that point was driven home many years ago when we were driving around. You see, we moved to Bradenton to do a new church start, and we had one child and one on the way and a dog, and we knew we were going to be starting this church, so we thought we should buy a big vehicle. So we bought a Ford Expedition. So that was a family vehicle, and we knew that it would be the church bus, and it would be what we loaded the sound equipment in, and it had a trailer hitch on the back so that we could pull the church trailer and set up for church on Sunday mornings. And as well as being a very utilitarian vehicle, we also decided that we would use it for marketing, that we would be walking billboards for Harvest, this new church. So we had signs made, magnetic signs, to go on the doors, the passenger side door and the driver's side door. And the sign said, Harvest United Methodist Church, becoming a new community of faith. Well, it became very clear pretty quickly that if we were driving around with these big signs on either side of this big car, then we sure as heck better be the most kind and patient and generous drivers on the road. So I was afraid to go a mile over the speed limit because I didn't want to be pulled over on the side of the road with lights flashing and signs on the vehicle. And I couldn't honk angrily at anybody when they pulled out in front of me. And if there was a lot of traffic and cars were merging in, I had to not only let the first car in, but even the second and the third car in, because I was a walking billboard, a driving billboard for this new church. And then I got to thinking, what if each one of us had a sign on our forehead that said, Christian, or that said, I am baptized? Would everything that I said and did and how I said it well represent Christ? What about you? birthday, and we belong to Christ. We are not just a knockoff, we are the real deal. We are the property of Jesus Christ. And so we surely better live that way. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we live that way. So, be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted. Forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Because you are the real deal. You are the property of Christ. And as such, you better have some brand loyalty, because you are branded for Christ, by Christ, and for the sake of the world. Love us as your beloved children, and call us to be imitators of you. To live as Christ lived, and to offer ourselves to others for your sake. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, enable us, strengthen us to do what you would have us do and say what you would have us say, to live as you would have us live in our everyday, ordinary walking around lives. And when we fail and when it grieves you, forgive us, O God, and strengthen us for a new day as we don our new clothes. In all that we do and all that we say, may we be walking signs of Jesus Christ in and for the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Christ our Lord invites to this table all who love him and who earnestly repent of their sin. And so we gratefully gather around this table where the welcome is wide, and we come with a hunger and a thirst for love and for grace, for something different than what we might have experienced in our everyday, ordinary walking around lives where hatred and division seem to rule. And we come to receive the grace that God has for us so that we might, having been nourished by that grace, go back out into that world and offer words that give grace, deeds that give grace, and live in love. And so we remember that night when Jesus sat around the table with his disciples, and he took bread and gave thanks to his Father in heaven. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to his Father in heaven, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Take, drink, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." And so we pray, Almighty God, that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make it be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that we might be the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. by your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes again in final victory and we feast together at your heavenly banquet table. Through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us, your Holy Church, we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are going to help us serve communion this morning to please come and make the stations ready. And as they come, let me say a word about this table. In the United Methodist Church, the welcome is as wide as God makes it. All are welcome at this table. You don't have to be a member of Trinity or of any church for that matter. You come at the invitation of God to receive the grace that God has for you this morning. We serve communion by way of intinction, which means that we tear off a piece of bread, place it into your open hand, and then you're invited to dip the bread into the cup to receive the elements together. We ask that you come to the station nearest your section, beginning with the front rows, working our way back, exiting to the left, and returning to the right. If gluten-free is in need that you have, we have those stations on either side here at the front. So just let us know when you come forward. We would be happy to serve you. As the table is set, all are welcome. God of love, we thank you for gathering us together at your table. And having been nourished by your grace, we pray, O God, that we rise from this table more together now than we were an hour ago when we came in. May we go into the world to give grace, to live life. In Jesus' name, amen.
So as you can see, the computer has
Gotten
out of it because of the storm. And so how about if I try to get us through at least just the first verse of Take My Life and Let It Be? Would you stand? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of my love. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. So first of all, if it's pouring down rain, just stay. We have lunch next door, and just stay and don't get wet and don't slip and fall. If you need to go and you need help, please ask someone, and we will help you get to your vehicle. And now let me invite you to grab the hand of someone near you as we are reminded that we are together for the sake of the world. So as you go out, may you give God all of your moments and all of your days. Go out and be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted and forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you. Go and be a walking billboard for Christ, for you are baptized. And by the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ, power of the Holy Spirit, may we live that day to day.